I love preachers.
Amen.
I love preaching.
Amen.
And I love young preachers. And I love the job that I have. There's no greater job in all the world, I think, than training young men to be gospel preachers. But you know what? We live in a very sad day. We're living in a day when our brotherhood is lacking bold preaching. We're living in a day when many places, their speakers are more like an after-dinner speaker than they are gospel preachers. We hear a lot of conversational type preaching. Now friends, that is not gospel preaching. Now I'm not talking about just being loud, because a lot of people can be loud but not really be a bold preacher. And we've got a lot of people that might be soft-spoken. Maybe they're not loud, but they speak with boldness. We're going to talk about that tonight. Bold preaching. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 2, we're told to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. This should be the battle cry for every single gospel preacher of our day. But sadly, there are too many preachers who lack boldness, who lack the courage to preach God's word like they ought to be. And there are a lot of gospel preachers who are hirelings, and they don't care for the flock. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, notice there, verses 12 and 13. But he is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep, fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. There are a lot of gospel preachers who are hirelings. What do I mean? It means they're not willing to preach certain things for fear of losing their job. That is a hireling. I had a congregation tell me one time, "You can't preach on this anymore." And I said, "Goodbye." Found a better job anyway. A hireling. There's too much. Now listen to me. There's too much sissy boy preaching going on in our world today. Sissy boy preaching who is nothing but a bunch of wishy-wash mush that comes out of their mouth out of the pulpit. What has happened to tried and true, fire and brimstone gospel preaching? To where has the dynamic book, chapter, and verse preaching disappeared to? Our great preachers of the past. And I was thinking about naming some of them, but why should I do that? Y'all know who we're talking about. Great gospel preachers we've heard in the past, ones I've heard growing up, would be appalled at the kind of preaching that's going on. And more importantly, Jesus would be appalled at the kind of preaching that's going on in our day. My friends, Jesus is not pleased with sissy boy preachers. A sissy boy preacher is not a bold preacher. What is a bold preacher. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. You know, in our Bibles, we have the word, we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 4 in a little while as an example of what we're talking about. But I want to define a couple of terms for us that I think are very important for us in understanding what it means to really be a bold preacher. First of all, why not look at the word boldness? The word boldness comes from parousia, found 39 times in the New Testament. And the sense of the word is usually used in the idea of willingly to undertake activities that involve risk or danger, especially that involve being honest and straightforward in attitude and speech. Various lexicons translate this Greek word as courage, frankness, confidence, plain, candor, straightforwardness. I look at it, 6 minutes left. What does that mean? Okay. Well, I don't know what that means, but anyway, I'm going to preach for a while. Because it says 6 minutes remaining or 32 minutes remaining. But anyway, we'll find out as it goes down. What was that HD was talking about, these red lights? I think I'd rather have the red lights myself. What about preaching? We understand boldness, preaching. There are several Greek words used with regard to preaching. Caruso, meaning to proclaim as a herald. And here, I want to take a moment, and I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. And I want to show you that there is a difference between teaching and preaching. Notice there in chapter 11 and verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to," what? "Teach and to preach in their cities." Teaching is not preaching, necessarily. Now, there is some teaching going on when you're preaching, but there is a difference between teaching and preaching. Eo galizio. I was practicing all these Greek words, you know, when you get up here and it really gets to the point of time, they don't come out as smoothly. But this Greek word has the idea of telling good news. An evangelist. Being an evangelist. Katalegeo. Telling thoroughly. You're going to find it interesting here in a moment when you look at this idea of gospel preaching and how that word, we're going to look at in just a moment, the word bold is translated different ways. At other times, that gives us greater insight into what bold preaching is all about. But notice the importance of bold preaching. I understand that now. The importance of bold preaching. Preaching is very important to God through the ages. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Moses, God's prophet. The prophets were preachers. If you want to know something about the bold preaching that we ought to be having, read the prophets. Some of the best preachers there ever was on the face of the earth. Every gospel preacher, especially every preacher student, if you want to know how to preach, you need to spend time in the minor prophets. Teaches you how to preach. Jesus came preaching. And the worldwide commission, it calls for gospel preaching. I want you to notice what God says to the Apostle Paul in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning verse 21. And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Foolish to who? Foolish to the world, but not to God. What men think as being foolish, God used to save men. How important is gospel preaching? And my friends, we need to realize that the place and priority of bold preaching in the New Testament is very critical to us to understand. Look in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, I want us to begin reading there in verse 9. Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings unto good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone today or yesterday was talking about cause and effect. One is sent. One preaches. One hears. The one believes. And they are saved. What caused the salvation? What was the effect? What was the cause? It was the preaching of the gospel. How critical, how important is it to preach the gospel? Now, I might be a little biased, but I don't think the church can spend money any better than helping schools of preaching train men to preach the gospel. Whether it be Brown Trail or Southwest, I'm kind of partial to Texas School of Preaching, but if you're preaching the truth, I am for you all the way. There is no competition between Brown Trail and Southwest and the Texas School of Preaching, because we want to put out bold preachers, right? Shake or nod. No competition. Although we may play a football game next year. See who gets the most support. Gospel preaching. Preaching. The Word of God is the way that man is regenerated. It's the way that a man is brought to Christ. A passage that was looked at earlier in our time together by another speaker in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, do you remember? In verse 12, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is a living word. Preachers preach a living word. It's not a dead letter, but it's a living word. It is a word that imparts and develops life. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63. Look in your Bibles in Colossians chapter 1 as we look and start developing this idea of bold preaching. In Colossians chapter 1. Notice there verses 28 and 29. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What is bold gospel preaching? It is that which is warning. Man is lost. Sin will condemn. And so God's wrath is real, and so we need to warn people. You're not a bold preacher if you're not warning people of the consequences of sin. We need to teach. We need to present a Savior. Show how to be saved, how to live. We need to develop. Did you see our text? Warning, teaching, presenting. That's what bold gospel preaching does. In your Bibles, in the book of 2 Timothy, I want to show you something there as well about preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. What is gospel preaching going to be doing if you're using the Word of God? It's going to make you wise into salvation. It's going to be used for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. It develops Christian maturity. We are thoroughly furnished with this. Preaching means that we're going to be reaching a man's intellect, we're going to be touching his emotions, and we're going to be dealing with his will. Would you like to see what bold preaching looks like? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 4. And I want us to meander through there a bit. and show you something about bold preaching. You remember in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John had just healed a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Many people, when they saw that, they were gathering around Peter and John in great wonderment concerning the miracle that was done. And when they had this audience coming in, Peter and John says, you know what, we better not talk too roughly on these people because we don't want to run them off. Is that what they did? I mean, they had a crowd there. And notice as we begin reading in verse 12 of chapter 3. He says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the son, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted, and killed the Prince of Life. Look down to verse 19. Because of these things you did, verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You have committed a horrible sin and you need to change your life. That's bold preaching, isn't it? Well, you drop down to chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, and they spake unto the people and the priest and the captain and the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So these leaders here, they didn't like what was going on. So they took Peter and John by the scruff of the neck and, hey, you're not going to do this anymore, and took them into bonds. And they were going to discuss, what are we going to do about this thing? I mean, everybody's listening to them. I know what we'll do. Why don't we just threaten them a little bit? Well, drop down to about verse 13. Well, I'll tell you what, let's pick up in about verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, came unto them and the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. And he says, if verse 9, if we this day be examined of good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means is this man made whole? Be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, God raised him from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become head of the corner. Neither is our salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Were they preaching boldly? Verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, drop down, it says, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Does your bold preaching, when people look at your preaching and say, you've been with Jesus, you're not a bold preacher if you're not being with Jesus. Well, what'd they say? Well, verse 16 says, well, that they've done indeed a notable miracle. Can't deny that. But I tell you what we'll do. Let's threaten them. we're going to beat you up if you preach the gospel anymore. But verse 20 says, but Peter and John says, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So Jesus, Peter and John leave and they go and they're meeting with their friends and they're telling their friends all the things that's going on. And in verse 29 it says, Now the Lord behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that we may all with boldness speak thy word. Pray for us that we'll be bold preachers. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In this bold preaching of Peter and John, we see courage and straightforwardness. Parousia, boldness. It's interesting, and I like to look up Greek words that way in the Englishman Greek Concordance and see how these words are translated in other places. And it really helps us come to understand many times what a word means. For example, turn over to Mark chapter 8 and verse 32. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 32. And he spake this saying, he was talking about his death. He's going to be raised on the third day. He spake this saying openly. Guess what word that is? That's the word for boldness. Openly. You want to know something about bold preaching? Openly. Look also in your Bibles in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, you remember there in that account, they was talking about Lazarus. And Jesus said unto them plainly, guess what? That's our word. Plainly, that Lazarus is dead. You look also in your Bible in the book of Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. That's our word. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. And one other passage in that regard, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use plainness of speech. Plainness. So when we look at these words, what do we understand about bold preaching? Bold preaching is open. Nothing hidden. My friends, false teachers are going to come in and going to try to hide something. They're going to come around Jack Robinson's barn. Bold preaching is open. I have nothing to hide. Bold preaching is plain. It is not, you cannot misunderstand it. Well, you just didn't understand what I was saying. Well, you're not boldly preaching then. It ought to be plain and with confidence. If you've got the Word of God and you're staying true to it, you can be confident. And again, it has to be plain. The idea is that of courage, confidence, candor. And when we think about bold preaching, why do we need it? Well, first of all, to keep the church free from every false way. You looking at me? There is too much, way too much, false doctrine going on in our Lord's church today because men are a bunch of sissy boys and they won't preach the truth. They're cowards. They're pansies. Because they won't preach the truth. And as a result of that, people are being led astray. Whole congregations being led astray. Because the people in the pulpit won't preach the truth. And might I also say, and the elders are allowing it to be so. Elders ought to demand bold preaching.
Amen.
So it's not just the preacher's fault. It starts with him because he said it first. But it goes to the elders because they let him stay in there. Bold preaching, we need it. We are to contend earnestly for the faith that is once for all delivered to the saints. Someone has already talked about this week about how we are in a war. We are in a battle. Bold preaching is needed. But you know what else? Souls are at stake. You know, I don't want to. If anybody knows me, they know me. I'm not mean. But you can get my anger up with this false doctrine, sissy boy stuff for sure. There's no call for that in the Lord's church. Because souls are at stake. The one who preaches. Have you ever wondered when Jesus was dealing with the people of his day why he was so hard on the Pharisees and the scribes, calling them snakes and hypocrites? Why? Because they were the preachers of the people and teaching them things that were false and contrary to God's law. And Jesus was not going to put up with that for 1 minute. But then you had the woman at the well. He was kind to. Dealt with her a whole lot differently. Now, I'm not saying we ought to be mean and vindictive. But we can't put up with this false teaching stuff.
Amen.
We can't put up with it. We can't even give them the idea that we're all right with it. Souls are at stake. Let me ask you a question. I don't expect an out loud answer. But I'll be able to tell by your face expression. What would be worse? For you to give your child poison or cotton candy? Well, of course, poison, right? Well, let's just say that your child just loves cotton candy. And anytime you give her anything else besides cotton candy, she throws a fit. And so what do? You give her cotton candy. And I tell you, all she eats is cotton candy. What's going to happen? She's going to die. So what is worse? Cotton candy or poison. May I make a spiritual application with you? Which is worse? Someone teaching false doctrine? Or cotton candy preaching? Well, false doctrine, of course, is the worst thing of all. Well, what if a congregation, all they're ever taught is the loving story of Ruth? I love Ruth. Great book. But you can't live on Ruth. Oh, the Psalms. Let's just study the Psalms and nothing else. I love the Psalms. We can't live on the Psalms alone. There are many preachers and teachers in our Lord's church who are not preaching error. But their sermons are all cotton candy. They're not challenging. Someone said earlier today already, there are a lot of people out there, they're a bunch of baby bottle suckers. They can't even eat the meat yet. They're still sucking on a baby bottle and they're 75 years old or 40 years old and still sucking a baby bottle. Because they've been fed cotton candy all their life. You know, there are people out there who are always wanting to tickle one's ear. I want you to notice that gospel preaching, bold gospel preaching, demands that we preach boldly. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Let me tell you something else. You can still be loving and preach boldly. Shake or not. Amen. If you love the souls of mankind, and you love your own soul, you're going to be one who preaches boldly. Beloved, our preaching and teaching must be true to the book. It needs to be straightforward without apologies. Remember when Jesus was there and he said, Lord, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you said? And Jesus says, oh, my goodness sake, I'm sorry. Is that what he said? Hardly. Because he's a bold preacher. Let the blind lead the blind. Let them both fall in the ditch. It has to be bold, without apology. And we need to address the spiritual matters of our people. Not only, we've got to teach them what they need to hear. We need to encourage the faint-hearted, and we need to rebuke sin and have the loving attitude enough to tell people what they need to hear. My friends, that's bold preaching.